On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
That was weird, man. The iPad shut off while the music was running. That's never happened before.
Ever?
Ever.
Okay. Is it still working?
Do we know this? We're running. We're recording. It says we are like 37 seconds in. That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then.
I'd like to voice, just for a second, my displeasure with our audience. I choose to blame you people for the fact that I'm not standing at Lansdowne Park right now. It's not called that anymore, is it? Something like...
Well, it's TD at Lansdowne is what the stadium's called, so I can only imagine. It's still Lansdowne Park.
Yeah. I think it's something more corporate now. Ottawa Beer Fest carrying on Sunday afternoon. And instead of being over there enjoying that, here slugging it out doing work for you people.
Yeah, well, and the reality is we're also under a tornado warning here.
What are you doing that for? They don't need to know that.
I'm going to bat for the good listener. That's what this is.
The good listener. I don't know a good listener. Yeah, okay. Maybe it's the weather.
Yeah, it could be that, yes, heavy thunder showers, potential tornado.
So
not Sharknado.
Head for your trailers, batten down the hatches.
Get under your double wides. I got Matt, and that's it. We're good to go.
Guffaw. We thought we would do, and had promised to do, I suppose, a draft of our own. For Las Vegas, and so you've drafted a team, I've drafted a team. I imagine mine will be superior, as is typically the case, but...
Well, you know what? After looking at mine, I imagine yours will be superior as well.
Is that how George McPhee's going to feel on Wednesday night? Oh, fuck.
I would hope not. I did mine in 20 minutes or a half an hour, just sort of grabbing names. I went back and looked.
I see how you're often late. Your concept of time is...
did one quick, you know, revision and then sort of went at it and then threw some lines together. Whereas I think, yeah, after looking at it...
Would you care to tell the good listener what your revision was?
Yeah. I took Justin Falk.
Yeah. Which is
awesome pickup.
Yeah.
If I'm grabbing Carolina's Justin Falk, as opposed to the Sabres' Justin Falk.
Yeah.
Sorry, I threw that one back.
Yeah, redid it.
I
should have, as I said to you out there while you were putting your team together, I should have sat on that and waited and embarrassed you on the air. So I had to bring it back up. You wouldn't have embarrassed me.
You got to have shame before you get embarrassed.
Clearly,
That's not going to happen.
But yeah, that would have been a pretty terrible oversight for them to have left that Justin Falk unprotected.
And before we get into this,
yes,
you had touched on one of the last pods we did about all the hand-wringing and the angst and the trades that were going to come down and the chance to mold and manipulate your teams moving forward. And you were saying, yeah, I think there's going to be nothing.
Yeah.
And?
It wasn't nothing, but it wasn't much more than...
There sure was a whole heaping...
Why don't we start... There, just in terms of the deals that got made, let's start with Montreal trades, because this is the bigger one, I think.
Yeah.
Sergachev for Jonathan Drouin.
Sergachev in a second. Now, is the second conditional? I know the sixth coming back with Drouin was conditional.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But principally, Montreal's top prospect, a defenseman for...
Windsor Spitfires.
Yeah. Fresh off a Memorial Cup. But he played
nine games. He played right up to back in November, late October, November. He played the nine games for Montreal.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. I knew he, like I said, I know he's their top prospect, certainly their top defensive prospect, and they need help in the middle, and so decided to trade him to Tampa for a winger, because that's just what Bergevin does. In the last calendar year, they have now, and we'll get to this, traded Nathan Beaulieu, Sergachev, and Subban. And wonder how they can find puck-moving defensemen. Not great on that end. What were your thoughts on the deal? I think we both expect Drouin to turn out to be a pretty good player.
I wonder, though, if he's, he'll be on their top line. He'll be doing whatever they do. But, man, he just seems to be more of the same. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
I'm not disputing that. And, man, and I don't watch enough Tampa games.
Yeah.
But I certainly do see him on the highlights, right? I wonder what he's doing in between the highlights.
Well, and there's been some talk, right? Especially that if Steve Yzerman is willing to give up on you, right? That guy's a winner. That guy has won championships in Detroit, was around building championships in Detroit.
Former Peterborough Pete. That says winner all the way through it, right?
Obviously.
There.
And has now built himself a pretty good program in Tampa, and he's willing to give up on you. We're only a year and a bit removed from
him staying, him holding out,
yeah.
and Yzerman telling him, yeah, don't even report to whatever.
Well, he left the AHL team at first.
Yeah, and they said, don't come back.
Don't come back.
Right. And now then they brought him up after the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And he had a great playoffs.
Yep.
And he's an Yzerman, as you suggest, Yzerman likes him.
Yep. Now, it does do them, not just in terms of the expansion draft, but in terms of the cap, and we've talked about this on this show before, that they were going to have trouble signing Tyler Johnson and Jonathan Drouin and...
They did Hedman.
Yeah, but there's another guy in that triplet slot, not Kachara, but maybe it was Cedric Paquette. I can't remember. One of their other... Anyway, they had a lot of... guys to re-sign. They weren't going to be able to re-sign all of them, so you send away a guy in an area that you have strength. Now, they seem to think that they had issues on defense, which is kind of news to me, because they had a pretty good top four, but they get themselves a puck-moving guy who's cheap for at least another 2 years.
Yeah, Sergachev, yeah.
Yeah. It seems like, it seems like a good deal for Tampa. I don't know that I love it for Montreal. Your biggest chip to play, first of all, you need a puck-moving defenseman.
Yeah.
So you maybe didn't want to trade him in that regard.
You're dealing away, if you're Montreal, you're dealing away from a position of weakness.
Right. And the place where you need the most help at center, you didn't use your biggest chip to address. Right? You don't like Galchenyuk in the middle. There's some talk that maybe they'll try and Drouin back in the middle, which he did a little in the queue, but he hasn't since. And that, I don't think that's going to be...
Well, and he doesn't help with a lot of the size either, right? And so when you're talking about down the middle and size, that's always been there, right. And a puck-moving defenseman. Well, you now are – you're not strengthening – if you're Montreal, you're not strengthening any of your
– right.
Any of your shortcomings, and you've allowed Yzerman again to now make a little space, get a blue chip.
Well, you've strengthened a team in your own division.
Well, a team that's gonna blow past you this year –
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and not just this year, potentially for down the road as well.
So, speaking of blowing yourself up and strengthening the division at the same time, Nathan Beaulieu gets traded to Buffalo. Not quite the same type of name value there, but all they get back is a third round pick for a guy who is, he's not top end, but he's a puck moving defenseman. He can play in your second pair. He was Francophone, which matters there, right? Now, that's before we move on, I guess, one thing that
I think he's from Ontario.
A lot of people are jumping up and down about Jonathan Drouin, right? One of the coaches in the queue, his coach in the queue said they just got the most dynamic French-speaking player since Jean Beliveau. Shut the fuck up, right? Like,
since Jean Beliveau.
Yeah. No pressure, kid.
Or how about Lemieux in between? And that's just
no, in Montreal.
Oh, okay, in Montreal.
Yes.
Well, I think.
Yeah, there's been other French
kids. I think Guy Lafleur probably in between wouldn't.
Yeah, it doesn't look too bad either, right?
Yeah, so I think he'd have.
But Patrick
to say.
Roy, I know a different type of player, but pretty big star, pretty big star. So anyway,
but if I guess when you talk about dynamic, you were talking about game breaking. Man, I don't know. I wonder. To me, you look at Drouin in his draft year. He slipped. His stock fell.
Yep.
Right. He was supposed to be number one.
Yep.
Hands down, and fell. I think Tampa got him at three,
I believe.
So we'll see. And you know, clearly you and I are looking at it saying, yeah, I hope he's a bust. I hope he's just a.
I don't expect him to be a bust. No. I just don't think they did anything to address what their actual weaknesses were. They traded away, as you said. Yeah. So they, I don't know that they improved themselves in the place that they needed to, especially if you're going to leave Galchenyuk, who I think is probably on his way out. On the wing instead of in the middle. So
well, and you know what? I saw the press conference. I didn't listen to it. I was someplace and it was on. And I'm looking at, and Bergevin's just beaming. He's just ecstatic with the trade, right? So to me, I think if he wasn't a Francophone player, you're right. Probably not making this trade.
I agree. So they move on, and on Saturday they trade Beaulieu for a third round pick. A lot of people trying to defend it, saying, well, you were going to lose him in the expansion draft. And you go, okay, you traded him, and it, you didn't get anything back to open up a spot, so now you lose him and another guy.
Well, see,
like,
that,
you've actually lost two. Like, you essentially, I know a third-round pick isn't nothing, but you got nothing on your roster for him, and so you've lost him and whoever Las Vegas takes.
Yeah. And so
for a
to
third
me,
round pick.
That's been the buzzword, right? Pierre Dorion here in Ottawa has said a bunch of times, and they're talking about, well, would you trade Mathot or would you trade CeCe ahead to get something in return? He's like, well, then we're losing.
Yeah.
You're losing two because you have to then bring something back. And clearly, if it's anything good,
you have to protect it.
You got to protect it or expose something,
yep.
Right? And then you are now in the spot where you are looking at losing two pieces.
So both of these moves in division, like, I don't expect Beaulieu to be the turnaround piece for Buffalo, but he helps. He'll replace Cody Franson, who's going to move on, and that's a reasonably, you know, that's a trade-off that they've now filled a hole, and it doesn't force them to protect anything that they didn't want to, right, in Buffalo. And now Vegas is going to turn around and take something else from Montreal.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't – it's
and you know what? Going through this exercise has been very good, right? You get a look at what everybody else in the league – the bad contracts and the crap that people are exposing.
Oh, it's crap.
You're just like, to me, it's like a garage sale. Why would you have ever bought that? And you want me to buy it from you now?
Well, when you look at Columbus, there's rumors running rampant that they've already made a deal. Same with the Isles. When you look at what the Isles have left unprotected, they protected five defensemen and three forwards. And there's talk that they've already spoken to Vegas. We'll give you this and this and this. To not touch those. And we'll get into this as we reveal our roster.
Because I still wasn't loving a lot of what they had.
Okay, but they did it. They left unprotected Ryan Strome.
Ryan Strome.
That, to me, is a guy that you would take a shot on.
Who is will be featured in my top line.
Yeah. My second line. See, as we tease this already. I got better depth, I think. So anyway.
Up front, potentially. I got to think I.
Anyway, and same in Columbus. They left some guys, right, that Wenberg or whatever this year, there was a few
Gagne.
Guys that I think Gagne is a UFA. I could be wrong on that, but
I think Gagne had 1 year left, but and making a million.
Yeah, that's a guy I would like the Leafs to be interested in as their new fourth line center. But
well, so, and see, to me, at that price tag,
yeah.
and obviously he had huge output first half of the season, as Wenberg did.
Yeah, as a lot of guys did
in
Columbus.
Right, and then terrible second half.
Yeah.
But if you could get half of that and play them down in your lineup, as you're suggesting,
yep.
Parfait.
Yep.
Hey, and just before we...
So there's a lot of... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to finish my point, which was before you sort of was looking at what people have exposed, and you and I touched on it earlier. Calgary, up until yesterday or Friday, whenever that was... had no NHL goalies under contract.
And now Arizona doesn't. So that was the third trade yesterday of any kind of consequence. Arizona sends Mike Smith, who is 35, I believe, 2 years.
Really? Is that all he is?
He's 35 or 37. I can't remember off the top of my head. But he's got 2 years left on his deal at about $5 million. And you know what? When you look at his, I get what they're trying to do. They're hoping that he was only that bad because of the team that he played behind. And I think there's something to that. But he was, stick with me, over the last 5 years, 40th in save percentage. And there's 30 teams in the league. So,
we like, got backups crushing you.
Right. And so, and one in save percentage, that's not a, like, goals against, you go, that's a team thing. Save percentage, that's you, man. Right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't like.
It's my team putting me in bad situations. That's sure. All that is.
I don't like what they did. I don't think that's a good. They must have believed there was no chance of them getting Fleury, either because Vegas wasn't. If Vegas takes him, they're keeping him. Or, you know what? Like, they were very interested in Marc-Andre Fleury. That obviously wasn't going to happen. But there's a lot of goalies that are going to be available. And there's teams talking now, things like.
Well, Vancouver protected Markstrom.
Yeah. Left Ryan Miller, who might be UFA, I'm not sure.
No, he had a $6 million season left, I think.
When they, like, there's a lot of talk that because for the next 3 or 4 days, you can only deal with Vegas, and Vegas has some unique opportunities. People in Toronto are saying, what would it take, just as an example, because it's the one I'm most familiar with, what would it take Toronto to give Vegas for Vegas to select Jason Demers from Florida and send him to us?
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of that talk.
Right. And so those are the types of conversations going on. And they, for whatever reason, must have believed from talking to Vegas, they're not going to get us a goalie. Whether it be Grubauer, whether it be Ranta, whether it be Luongo was left exposed in Florida.
Well, till 2022, he's under contract.
So I wouldn't have done that either.
I just blew right past him.
Yeah, thanks anyway.
See ya.
So I don't know. I don't like that deal for them. The only reason that Arizona makes that deal, well, they're happy. They kept 25% of the contract, and they get Chad Johnson, who they can protect. They had to expose a goalie, right? You have to have.
But he's an RFA.
He's a UFA.
UFA.
So, but he does meet the requirements, so they can expose him. Vegas obviously won't take him, but they had to have a goalie, which they didn't, that they could expose, I guess, is the.
Yeah. I'm exposing myself right now.
There's a lot of people exposing way too much around here right now.
For sure.
And there's a lot of people that are overvaluing their own guys. And, you know, we've talked about Matt Martin in Toronto. And we've talked about, you know, what's going to happen in Ottawa once Dion does
Matt
his
Martin,
thing.
Yeah, Matt Martin would be an eligible guy. But then what are they paying him?
2.5 for 4 years.
Yeah. So he's on for another 7.5 for 3 years?
They're not taking him. Like, Vegas wouldn't have taken him.
Yeah, that's rich for what he's going to do when he's a fourth line guy.
Well, you bring him in apparently to protect your kids, and now you're stuck protecting him, right? Well, that's his only.
And not only that, I think there was a couple times earlier this year where he was putting people in jeopardy.
He absolutely was. That game in Toronto against Vancouver, and he's taking runs at their rookies, going, "Hey, we play them in Vancouver in 2 weeks. You think they're coming after you, or are they going after Marner?" Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So there was a lot of that shit going on, and you know, you bring in this guy because he's big and tough. Apparently, but you got to protect him so you don't hurt his feelings. Like, that's kind of what this has come down to.
Or because he's big and tough, he's going to go in there and kick your ass.
I guess so. Fuck you, Lou.
Yeah, exactly. Old timer.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, it's been interesting to me. I did want to touch briefly on Dion in Ottawa. That created an interesting. They did still have 12 teams they could have tried to trade him to.
But
I don't understand why people, and I'm not suggesting you're one of them. I don't know your thoughts on him. I'm protecting Mathot over CeCe. I know he's younger, and they keep saying that young CeCe with all this potential. CeCe right now, and I'm going to throw this at you. Has played the sixth most games in franchise history of any Ottawa defenseman.
Well,
and young up and coming CeCe is not that young and up and coming. You want to take a shot at the five?
At the five that have played more than him?
Yeah.
Chara?
Yep.
Phillips?
Yep.
Redden?
Yep. Two are current.
So two are current?
Yep.
Carlson?
Yep.
And Mathot?
Yep.
Those are the five guys, the only five D-men who've played more?
Yeah.
OK. Okay, that speaks more to the franchise than anything else.
Sorry, it's not Mathot, it's Volchenkov.
Oh, well, he's not current.
No, he's not.
Okay.
Messed up.
Yeah, all right. I get that, though.
Yeah. But so, at
Curtis
some point...
Curtis Lysishyn?
Stan Efkash? That's exactly, for some reason, Lysishyn is the name that keeps jumping back to me. And he might only played a year in
Rico
Ottawa.
Pearson? What about him? Is he out there?
Picard or whatever his deal was. Yeah.
Jean-Luc.
Picard, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but he's still young. He is only 22 years old, 23.
Yeah.
And now they were force-feeding him the minutes this year. There was nights he was playing Morgan Carlson. And so to me, over his head, over his head, over his head. Now, that being said, I watched him. You watched him 2 years ago at the World Championships when he went over. Man, he is with given space. He's got talent.
Sure.
They are talking about controllable years, age, and potential, right? They are not talking about him sliding up and and playing. He is still going to be. He's a four guy to me.
Well, I saw a great tweet from the Sixth Sense on Twitter, which was an awesome power move by Dion to refuse to waive sending Mathot out of town so he can play with Carlson.
Yeah.
That's a power move.
Well, and really, I don't think they're going to move Dion up.
I don't either. But it's, you know, maybe, you know, Freddie moves up there or we'll see.
Well, right? We'll see what happens with, but they need somebody up there.
Yeah. So interesting in terms of some of the guys, Dion, sorry, no, it was Fleury and Toby Enstrom in Winnipeg were the only guys who waived their no moves, which allowed them to, in Winnipeg, protect Byfuglien and
Myers
Trouba.
And Trouba.
Yeah. So, you know, some big stuff there, too, that allowed. Now, well, I took, in my expansion draft, and we'll get into these, I took Toby Enstrom.
I took Toby Enstrom.
So those gambles, I guess, didn't pay off at that point. But if you're willing to give up one of those guys, it's obviously going to be
Enstrom. I was taking Enstrom at 4-4-6 or whatever it is, in that range, right? I wasn't taking Phaneuf at 7 if he was exposed. I wasn't taking Byexa.
No, fuck.
You know, those
are... Well, he didn't waive.
No, he didn't. And Kessler, any of those guys like that. I wasn't taking those guys, right? But, you know, likewise, Bobby Ryan's out there, $7 million. No way. No way if I'm Vegas am I taking that contract.
No, although I'm more interested in him than Byexa or Kessler or...
Yep.
He's still shown some flashes. He's overpaid. But, like, the thing that a lot of people don't seem to understand as I've watched this exercise go on and on and on online and people talk about it, important to understand the difference between overpaid and bad, right? Like Dion Phaneuf, not bad,
no,
just overpaid.
No, and you know what? And it's funny because we're now, it's as Senators fans, you're like, you ran him down. And we did it on this podcast.
Sure.
Right? We talked about when Dion was still a Leaf. And I'm saying...
Funny how that works.
Yeah, but what I was saying then was the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah, not a bad contract, not a bad player.
Right.
Just overpaid.
And that's the problem that's happened around the league here is guys look at their own players and start to have to... They're used to railing against it and what it's doing to their cap and what this and that. And then you go, but I don't want to lose him. Yeah. Okay, it's because he's not a bad player. He's an overpaid player and you have to...
Right.
You know.
Although there are some situations where you look at it and go...
It's both.
Man, I'd like you to take that contract. Could you take that contract?
You are bad and you're overpaid.
Right. And
because you're bad.
Now, to me, if you're making $7 million, you should be elite.
Yep.
You were in the top 20% in salary. You should be in the top 20 in play.
So do you want to get into our teams here?
I sure do.
I did a draft last night, and then at 10 o'clock, oops, not 10 o'clock, the league then sent out a tweet, said, we're actually going to do this at 10:30. TSN standing by with their guys live, trying to, you know, couldn't be any more NHL to not even be able to get this out on time. There was a great quote online, someone saying, this has been delayed because Chicago has to announce their team outside and the weather's bad. Been a bit of a running gag for a while, right? That they're playing outdoor games every year and this and that. So, do you want to unveil your first line first, or we did the draft and then I put these into lines, and I know you've gone and done the same.
Yeah, and see, so to me, you did yours last night.
I did it. I redid it this morning,
and then redid it this morning.
Yes.
Then while I was doing it, put yours into lines.
Yeah.
This is my first rough draft.
All right.
And so. I'll stand behind it.
All right.
It'll take the ice for me. Interesting, though, I wasn't sure, right? Because as I'm scrolling through on the iPad and I'm selecting my players, all the info was at the top, right? Saying, you know, you had to get your 14 forwards, your 9D, your minimums, 14, 9, and 3.
Yep.
And then the salary cap. You don't even know what your salary cap is.
Yeah, until you click through
to
the next step.
Until you click to view your roster. And
so last night when I did mine, I had 10 mil in cap space free. And I was like, man, that's still a little higher than I thought I'd be, but we're good. When I redid it today, oof, I've only got 3 mil in cap. I'm up at 70 million.
70 million for an expansion team. See, so I did mine. I clicked through and went 49 million.
Okay.
So I was cheaping, but I also looked at it and went, I got two UFAs that I've selected.
That are probably walking on.
Yeah, so had to go back. I also had the aforementioned Justin Falk. Ditch that guy.
Wrong Justin Falk.
Yeah. And so I went back, swapped those out, trying to keep my ratios tight. So obviously if I'm losing a D, I got to pick up a D. I wanted to ditch one of my goalies. Anyways.
Yeah.
I went back. Now I'm up over 60. 60 and change.
All right.
So
I'm at 69.8 something.
Okay. So I do see, though, and so will the good listener, kind of where I could spend more money.
Right.
Right. So some of this salary out and maybe a little bit, I could maybe spend another. So anyways, my top line, I've gone with center by Jonathan Marchessault with.
Yep. Out of Florida.
Out of Florida. Yeah, with Jamie McGinn and Ryan Strome.
Okay. Marchessault, I also have on my team, not on my top line. 30-goal guy.
Yeah.
How does that get exposed? Well, what are you doing down there, Florida?
Well, because that is...
They protected Robert Petrovic.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Honestly, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Instead of running your good old... They should have left the analytics guys in charge because the good old hockey boys are in charge back there. Apparently didn't check the stat sheets and see that Marchessault, 30 goals, 21 assists last year. I know it's only 51 points, but 30 fucking goals.
I think they're relying on him fading back to the Tampa Marchessault or wherever he came from before, right?
I'm counting on him for 20 on my team.
Okay.
So that's
my top line.
My top line, Mike Camilleri, taken from New Jersey, Thomas Plekanec from Montreal, and James Neal out of Nashville.
Oof. Camilleri, Neal,
Plekanec.
And Plekanec.
Yep.
It's old.
It is old. I've got a little bit of that, and you'll see as we move through this that there is... Now, Neal isn't too old. Plekanec and Camilleri, both over 30. But I'm trying to balance, as we move through the lineup, you'll see some youth, you'll see some guys as we try and be competitive in year one, but also not lock ourselves into terribly long contracts. Plekanec is... UFA at the end of 2018, Camilleri at the end of 2019, and Neal is still
I tried to, in my first go through, again, I went through and tried to have a number of guys who had 2 years worth of time. I'd take some RFAs, right? But if you were a UFA, I wanted 2 years.
Well, so one of the things you'll notice, maybe listeners, as you listen, is by the time you get to this, or whatever, there's clearly going to be deals here that these teams have made to say, don't take this guy and we'll give you a first, right? Don't take this guy, we'll give you a prospect.
Yeah.
And as those come around, that's kind of what I've tried to bank my team on. If let's say Vegas ends up with, apparently there's reports already that they have a minimum of 3 first rounders this year. So if I can get a year or two out of some of these vets, you're hoping that some of these prospects and young guys I've got later on down are going to start to come through. Right now, I've also got guys on my team here on my second line, Ryan Strome. I don't expect him to actually go there. I think he's part of a deal in Vegas where the Islanders have said, don't take this guy, this guy, this guy. We'll give you a first and
right,
whatever.
And we've just selected the teams that were given to us
right
today.
Because we have no idea what kind of trades are going to come down, what kind of behind the whatever dealings have gone on, right?
And if I'm George McPhee, I'm taking extra draft picks next year and the year after.
Like he's said, he's quoted as saying, and I love the quote. It's very Godfather-ish. Like, we have told every NHL team, we will allow you to keep your roster intact completely. We're open to that. But what does that mean, right? You're gonna pay big off your AHL right. or your
what
top prospects.
What are you giving us?
Yeah, but we will absolutely allow you to keep your current roster intact if you want. I love that. Right? That's well, so. For,
to me, he's been very cards tight to the vest.
Yep.
Right? And suggesting, I like everything you got over there, so I got no idea what you're going to project.
Because I got nothing.
So. Well, this is it. Right? And so to me, it's good. Let's go. What do you got?
My second line out of Edmonton, Benoit Pouliot, Yuri Laterra from St. Louis, and Ryan Strome off the island.
Okay.
So Laterra, I was kind of, you know, I didn't ask you who you took. I don't think I did anyway. When you were sitting there, we were talking about St. Louis. They had one or two interesting guys, but he has played a lot with on St. Louis's top line or second line in the past with who's that big fucking Russian scorer they got out there in St. Louis?
Tarasenko.
Yeah, he's played with him a bit. They've like he's played with Jaden Schwartz. Like he's been one of their top guys. He's a little older. He's 29, but he's under contract for a bit still at a reasonably cheap number. Liked him, liked Strome, and Benoit Pouliot was really the only thing of interest off the Edmonton roster for me, so we took that.
Yeah, see, and so I went with, on my second line, I have centered by the captain of the Vegas Knights, Matt Stajan.
Nice.
Pierre-Edward Belmar from the Flyers.
Yep.
And Lee Stempniak.
Okay. I've got a bunch of the same guys as you, but I've just got them pushed down the lineup a little further here. Stempniak was born to be drafted by this team. No, if he goes to Vegas, he will tie the record of 12 teams in an NHL career, which I believe is held by Mike Sillinger.
Suitcase Sillinger.
Right. So I like that pick. I've got him a little further down the lineup, but Belmar, surprised Philly left him unprotected. He's not top end, but he's had a couple of good seasons now.
Well, he's
carried that Team France through world championships.
Yeah, well, he's going to snuggle right into that sort of third line, maybe flip into the second line if you needed him.
Yeah. And who was your third guy there?
Stajan.
Matt Stajan. That's too high for me for Matt Stajan to be a second line guy.
Okay, well, I got a couple guys behind him that I can flip up. As I said, I was throwing guys down.
Yep. Oh, I'm throwing them down.
Throwing them down. Knocking them out of the box.
So check out my third line. As I have Pierre-Edward Belmar in the middle between Jonathan Marchessault and Lee Stempniak.
Okay.
So
names we've all heard before.
Right. So we've got them here. I like Belmar.
You had Belmar and Stempniak together as well?
Yeah, on a third line.
With Marchessault.
Yep.
Okay.
Which should give them some punch, because I also expect him to fall back a little on his production, but I still expect him to be pretty. I don't think he's scoring 30 goals again, but he's certainly good enough for my third line in Vegas, right? Jonathan Marchessault. So I've tried to balance my roster here a little more.
Right. And so when I've gone with on my third line, I have Cody Sissons from nice. Nashville.
Colton
and his brother, Cody. Niall Yakupov.
Yeah. So that I'm intrigued by that you took Yakupov over Laterra out of St. Louis.
Yeah. That to me was contract and youth. Length. Yep.
Always length. Length's important.
I subscribe more to the width, but that's okay. the left winger on that is Devontae Smith-Pelly.
Out of Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So you took him over Camilleri.
Yep.
Yeah, and it seems like we've taken a bit of a different approach here. You're going young a little bit, and you're taking contract length. I'm kind of trying to...
You're trying to win now? Is that what you're...
I'm trying to balance win now with...
See, and as you see, I've taken more money on the back end.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Always.
That's where it
more value
be.
On the back
yes.
end. My fourth line, Joel Ward out of San Jose.
Yep.
Peter Holland. Yeah, that's right. Former Leaf Peter Holland. I like him as a fourth line. Play a little on the power play if he has to, but he's not going to be a... And then Brendan Leipzig was the Leaf that I took. And you could sub him in and out here a little bit if you wanted to with other guys I've got as extras or that are going to be down in the minors. But as a Leaf, he looked probably ready to come up and play in a third, fourth line kind of. He's kind of an agitator. He's got a little bit of a scoring touch. Was a top five AHL scorer under 24, which to me is more important than, you know, you get a lot of 30-somethings that end up back down there, right? What are the young guys doing in the AHL? So he's ready to come up and be an NHLer, but you could sub him back down into the minors. But there wasn't a lot to take from Toronto, right? So to me, he was the most natural pick out of there. But with Holland and then Joel Ward for a little bit of leadership. Again, he's 35. I didn't realize he was quite so.
Joel Ward?
Yeah.
UPEI Panther?
Yeah. But so he's going to provide a little leadership, a little grit. So that's my fourth line.
So my fourth line is centered by Riley Sheahan out of Detroit.
Detroit.
With Joe Colburn and Trevor Lewis out of Los Angeles.
That fucking Colorado was terrible, right? Yep. Like where you got Joe Colburn.
Yep.
There was nothing there. Like, really, eh? You were a 49-point team. Can't believe how that...
With that. And, and some of the contracts, too. You're right. You're looking at going, man, there's a lot of crap there with high money.
Yeah. No, it's true. So I had two extra forwards.
I also had two extra forwards.
Who will either be in the press box or in the minors or whatever. Hunter Shinkarik.
Yep.
I took from Calgary as a young guy who hopefully still has a little bit. Hasn't worked out yet. But and same from Vancouver, Brandon Gaughans.
See, and so I've gone the same kind of route as you. I went with Kirby Reichel.
Yep.
And Jacob Delarose as my two extras. So.
Jacob?
Yep.
Where is he from again? Okay.
Edmonton, I thought.
Yeah, that might be, yeah.
So those two guys, minor league contracts.
Yeah. Two-way, kind of up and down.
Boom. So I can take those. Fits in nicely. I got 12 NHL contracts. My extra two forwards. So to the minors.
I'll be intrigued by your defense because you said you spent a little more money over there, but like there's options here depending on what Vegas decides they want to do. They could have a top 10 NHL defense this season if they want to. Now it'll cost them and
I got money. I spent money here.
So my top pair, Matthew Dumba and Dan Hamhuis out of Minnesota and Dallas. Dumba's maybe a little young for that spot, but Hamhuis certainly capable of playing that. Hamhuis only has 1 year left on his deal, and he's 32 or 3.
And I was surprised to see. Where was Hamhuis?
Dallas.
Okay, I was going to say, he wasn't where I thought he was.
No, he's been very quiet since he left Vancouver, right? He was Nashville, then Vancouver, and then down to Dallas, where you haven't heard a whole lot about him.
See, my top pairing, I went with Vatanen and Mathot.
Yeah, and I will find out here that I have Mathot on my team as well. And while I really, really like him as a pair with Carlson, I think what they do works well together. I've got him in a similar role here, but I don't know that on most teams he would be a number one pairing defenseman. I think the chemistry with Carlson works very well, and Carlson's obviously your number one, so he gets that. But
so we can flip that, and we can put in, I can take Vatanen out, and I can put Enstrom in.
Right.
So I could go with Enstrom, Mathot, and a second pairing of Vatanen, Bogosian.
Bogosian. I took, for my second pair, I have Nate Schmidt from Washington, who's supposed to be, obviously not like Carlson, but he's an offensive guy, skates really, really well. I spoke to a couple of Capitals fans and Capitals reporters just during that Leafs-Cap series when they were calling out for...
Calling out?
When Alzner started game one, they badly wanted Schmidt to play over him. And then Alzner ended up getting hurt and he got in. So I said, you know, is he better? Is he whatever? Like, apparently around Washington, he's well regarded. He's young, and he's the guy that people wanted in there, and they weren't in love with Alzner anymore.
Well, so Alzner's on the way out, Shattenkirk's on the way out, and they've exposed Orpik, I believe, as well.
That's right. So I had Schmidt playing with Mathot because Mathot can. And this is my second pair. Mathot does what he does, very stable, good in his own end, and not like he's a terrible offensive guy, but just allows. Yeah,
no goals this season until the playoffs.
Right, but he's able to get the puck out.
Yeah, for sure.
So he's going to play with Schmidt and as a rookie,
and he's smart.
Yeah,
Mathot.
He's going to protect Schmidt from the mistakes he's going to make as a rookie. Let him skate. Let him be a power play guy. These sorts of things. So that was my second pair.
See, so and as I said to you, so I've gone with, and I can flip it. So Enstrom and Mathot, and or dump that back,
right,
and go with Bogosian and Enstrom as my top pairing. My third pairing is I got Lucas Spezza out of Vancouver and Matt Dumba. Matt, I took him.
Yeah. And I like where you have, like we both took Dumba. I'm not super comfortable with him being as high in the lineup as I have him. But, you know, as you said, you can move things down. And I just like playing him with Hamhuis, right, as a vet that can protect him a little bit and work with his strengths. On my third pair, I had Toby Enstrom and Josh Manson I took instead of Vatanen out of Anaheim.
Look at you.
Well, just in terms of, and again, I think Anaheim has probably made one of those backroom deals that won't see either of those guys go to Vegas.
See, and I didn't take those into consideration at all. I drafted.
I didn't either. I had to draft the team that I thought would, but I just want the listeners to remember, you know, if it finds it, if, you know, not to question us too much, right? That some of these contracts, some of these things won't happen because, but we had the names in front of us that we had. And so those are the guys that we took.
So I have five extra D-men.
I have four.
So I have David Schlemko.
Schlemko.
Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
Me too.
Jamie Oleksiak. I have Griffin Reinhart and Slater Cuckoo.
I have Slater Cuckoo. I have TVR. Who else did I have? Braden McNabb I took from LA because they just, again, very little that I was interested in. And Colin Miller from Boston.
Yeah, I'm not interested in him.
Is that because he hurt your team so bad in the playoffs?
Yeah, but yeah, totally.
So
speed bump on the way to the second round. See you later.
Again, though, based on how you build your team, what, you know, what was available in Boston and whatever. So I wanted the defenseman, and they ended up protecting. I don't know. Boston doesn't seem to be super. The fans don't seem to be really impressed that they left Colin Miller. And there was some talk, Colin Miller or Kevin Miller, which one do we keep? And I don't really know the difference, but I know they're both of reasonable quality. He's good enough to be my 10th defenseman. So.
Well, see, and to me, they're both on a decent team. They're bottom pairing guys.
Yeah, and I'll allow for that because I've got him way down my depth chart here. Let's get into the goaltending because this is very interesting. I took five goalies.
I had six originally, which didn't allow me to meet my minimum forwards. So I had to ditch one of my forwards and, I mean, ditch one of my goalies, which was Eddie Lack. I had Eddie Lack taken.
So I took Fleury.
I took Fleury.
To be my starter.
I have Fleury as my starter.
And I have Antti Raanta backing him up.
I have Antti Raanta backing up Fleury as well.
Okay. Going to the minors from Buffalo. I took Justin Falk. No, and, Linus Ullmark, who is still very young at 22 years old. They're very high on him, a lot of potential. Biggest thing here was he has a two-way contract, which allows me to, you know, send him down. And also from Colorado, which we talked about as a fucking dumpster fire, I took Kelvin Pickard. So those will be my AHL goalies, which is interesting for the real life team because they split a team. They don't have their own AHL affiliate, so they won't be able to have two.
They're in Chicago, are they not?
Yes, I believe it's the Chicago Wolves that they will have as.
So they have to, it's only half a team.
Yeah. So they won't be able to have both goalies, but, you know, I'm building my team, not their team. So, and then as my fifth goalie, I took Peter Mrazek, who might be better than three out of the five, right? Like he might be right there with Fleury, but he's making $4 million. He doesn't want to be a backup. I selected him to wheel and deal, right? I'm going to move him somewhere. He's making $4 million, like I said. Fleury's making 5.5. As an expansion team, I'm not doing 9.5 mil on my goaltending when I have a very, very good backup in Antti Raanta. So I'm going to flip him to a team who needs a goalie. And so that's why I took him, was just as an asset.
See, and I've taken five NHL goalies of, oh, I didn't take any now. Of varying strengths, right?
Yeah.
I have Fleury and Raanta. I've selected Grubauer, who is an RFA.
Yeah. And I was really interested in him, and I expected that I would be taking him until they left Nate Schmidt unprotected, and I went, thank you, and grabbed that. So
and then I also took Korpisalo out of Columbus.
Yeah.
And Hudobin out of Boston.
And what are you looking to do? Is Hudobin getting dealt? Because he's not going to the AHL. He's on a one-way.
Well, this is what I'm saying is really – any of those three guys I'm looking at, I'll carry the three if I have to, but to me, I'm looking at two of those, whether it's...
Fleury you're keeping.
I want Fleury and Raanta, but now if it comes down to it, and if Ranta's the most appealing,
yeah,
right, I'll flip that.
Right.
Right, but I am looking at... I was looking more at stockpiling goalies.
Yeah.
And then flipping... Like I said, you have teams, whether it be Arizona, whether it be Calgary...
They don't have number ones, let alone number twos.
Yeah, with no goalies, right? And so...
Like, Grubauer, again, just coming from a Toronto perspective, is a guy that I know Toronto fans want Vegas to, you know, can we work something out there, right?
Right.
Flip something, you take him and we'll... But if I'm Vegas, I'm absolutely... If I have Fleury as my starter, I'm absolutely keeping one of Grubauer or Raanta.
Or Raanta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of those two is staying with me.
And to me, if they end up with – if they ended up with Fleury and Corposalo,
yep.
Right? If that is your 1-2 punch and you've flipped off Ranta, Grubauer, and Khudobin for whatever picks.
Yep. Doesn't even have to be great picks because you paid nothing to get them.
This is it.
Third rounders here and there, whatever.
And to me, Khudobin is going to be a backup. He's not going to be
a
starter.
Right. Yep.
Right. So he's been competent. He's been around. He's serviceable.
Yep.
Right. So to me, Toronto could use him.
Yep.
Right. In terms of
Toronto could use any of those three that you're talking about.
Right. But I'm just saying you have Freddie Anderson, but no goalie's going to play more than 55.
Well, is Mike Condon coming back to Ottawa? Right. Like there's a lot of spots right now for. Well, again, Toronto thing. We'd like to sign Mike Condon.
Okay,
right?
That's
the perfect backup.
I think if he's leaving here,
he wants to be a starter.
He wants to be a starter.
Yeah, you're probably right.
No, and I don't think he's gonna start anywhere.
Right.
So
he probably ends up back in. But that's what you want is not just a backup, but hopefully a backup that can push your guy a little. Right. Like he knows his job and he's okay with that, but he's good enough to force the issue a little bit.
Well, and wherever he ends up, to me, Montreal let him go too soon.
Yeah.
When they look, he flamed out. Well, he came. He's never played a full season, you relied on him way too much.
Yeah.
Whereas in Ottawa, he came in, played 10 games in a row.
Not at one point, do something ridiculous.
18.
Yeah.
But so you're able to, and then Anderson came back. And so to me, he'd already had the season before where he was playing.
But all these backups we're talking about, Khudobin, Grubauer, Ranta.
Corposalo,
all of them ready to push. Right, they're not Curtis McElhinney. Right, they're not.
Right.
It's more like
Andrew Hammond.
Right, they're not James. They're more like James Reimer in Florida. Who say what you want, he's not good enough to win you a championship as a starter, but he's a pretty good
isn't
backup.
He though?
But he's a great backup, right? Like
man,
he's top end backup.
You look at how it goes now. You
never know.
But, you never know, man.
So because you're not going out and getting $6 million Ryan Miller to back up your $5 million.
No.
And Craig Anderson or Freddie Anderson or whatever.
And so to me, that's what I did.
Carey Price is about to cost.
I grabbed up goalies with the idea of moving them afterwards.
I did the same thing.
Who needed them.
Yep.
So I didn't even look at that point really at a minor league team. And the minors, I can only put one.
It sounds like, but.
So that's not, I'm not going to hide anybody.
Right.
So to me, five. Let's see what you got. Calgary, Arizona, Toronto. Maybe Ottawa.
Do you expect – so, I mean, that's our rosters for both of us. It was an interesting exercise. The team will be unveiled on Wednesday at the shitty NHL award ceremony, which will probably have the highest ratings it's ever had just because of this. Teams wanting to find out who they lost or
surely,
fans.
I was going to say, surely they'll know before then.
Fans, I mean.
Okay.
Fans won't necessarily – they're encouraging people. Don't tell anybody. Don't – any trades that might have been made, do you expect a lot of these kind of backroom deals, or do you think that Vegas, for the most part, will take 26, 27 guys just off rosters and there might be two or three kind of moves? Or do you expect more of a...
Well, you know what? To me, I think my team could be competitive. This team could be competitive that I selected.
Okay. So do... I think mine would too, but
your team sucks.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, I don't think the team that's selected is going to look anything like either one of our teams.
Right, I don't either because I don't think Ryan Strome is actually available. Right, I don't think
as you look at it and you go Strome, Vatanen, as you said, Belmar, maybe even if you start to look at these things, right, and you go, no, it's not happening. This is not going to be available.
Right.
So to me. I think without being privy to what's really happening, we'll have to wait and see. I think the team is going to suck is what's really going to happen here.
I would be absolutely willing if I was Vegas. Look, if you got somebody that's that important to you, the cost is a first or a top-end prospect. No seconds, no thirds. If you want me to stay away from your guy, it's a first or I'm taking him. And there are a lot of old school GMs that will say, here, take my first round pick. Please don't take my 11th best player, which is ridiculous, but that will happen.
Well,
people overvalue their...
Really, how ridiculous is it?
Well, I get the one thing is Magic Beans and one is an established player, but he's your 11th best player.
Okay.
He's one guy and the whole league is losing one guy.
All right.
So let him go.
You look at, you go back through drafts and you look at what, man, it's a crapshoot out of the top 10 in the first round.
So the last time.
There's some great fourth round picks. There's some great sixth round, but anything outside of the top 10 or 15, Carlson was drafted at 15th.
Right.
There, you can get some good stuff, but man, if you're drafting 25th in the first round.
So I went back and I did some research to look at what have the Leafs actually lost in these things before. And it was just for my own interest, right?
Yeah,
when Atlanta and Nashville and all these teams started coming in, even back before that, you're looking at names like Kevin Adams, who, you know what, went on to play 500 more games, actually won a cup in Pittsburgh. Good for you, buddy. Had a
good for you, bud.
Darren Pupa.
Oh, the grape ape.
Like, Mike Craig, I think, went to, like, they're pieces, and they're decent, but
Pupa went to Tampa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin Adams went to Columbus. I can't remember which one the Minnesota one was, but, like, they're just guys, right?
Okay.
Like, and I'm annoyed.
I think this draft is better set up Vegas
sure.
than any of the other ones that have come
but
before.
But even still, what are you really looking at? Like, Anaheim's in a tough spot. But I think they've made a deal to stay out of it. Like,
for sure.
Ottawa, if they lose Mark Mathot, that might be the, like, that's as big as it gets. Now, because in Ottawa, he's a number one pair defenseman. But I think he's only that with Carlson.
Yeah. Like, no, I agree with you.
I think he's a top four guy
in
Vegas.
For sure. He's a top four.
In pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, most teams.
Right. Most teams aren't going to lose, and then when you put it in perspective of everyone loses a guy, in theory, the league should be weakened fairly equally. Like, I would prefer that Toronto have protected Leipzig over Matt Martin, but he's just a guy right now. He's an AHL winger that looks like he has potential, and if he goes on and has a great career, well, that'll suck for us, but we still look like we're going to be okay, right? The Lightning... If they lose whatever, right? Like, at one point I was looking at JT Miller from them, or not Miller, that's New York, but Brown or whatever. I can't remember who
taken out of
Tampa.
We've looked at everything over and over again.
They're just pieces. Like, honestly, when I say Mark Mathot, I don't mean to, I'm not trying to downplay him, but that might be the biggest loss to any team is who's.
Right. And then here.
Flurry, I guess, is.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it's a big.
Okay, and they have a 2-time Stanley Cup.
Yep.
Winning,
but those are
right
big pieces disappearing.
For sure, they are.
Yeah.
And Enstrom and those sorts of things, right?
Yeah.
As you look at and Dumba, any of those things are
Dumba
pieces.
Is a big one. Yeah. Vatanen or Manson, if they don't have a deal worked out.
And I was looking at those guys like Cal Clutterbuck.
Yep.
I'd love to. He's a great piece. I'd love to have him. He's making almost $5 million. Forget about it. Here in Ottawa, and you talk about Mathot. As soon as it comes down to it, they go. Who is Vegas going to take him? And then you go, okay, let's think about this. If we lose him, hate to lose him, $5 million bucks, 4.9, whatever it is. And you go, okay, but if we're going to bring, let's just take Freddie Claesson, who had a great playoff.
That's what I'm doing. Claesson moves up to play with Carlson and Shabbat comes into my bottom pair.
And then you look at it and you go, okay, we've now moved Claesson up. He's making $650 this year.
Yeah.
So you've now saved 4.3.
Yep.
Do you, A, bring somebody in with that immediate savings to bolster something?
Even at three, right? Do you spend $3 million of that and save $2 million bucks, right? Like to bring in a replacement.
And this is what I'm saying is, so you have the in-house replacement, boom, up he goes.
Yeah.
And then you've saved that money. You either use that money now or you keep an eye towards the future. Next year, Stone and Turris need contracts.
Yeah.
Year after that, Carlson needs money.
Well, and a lot of it. And I mentioned, you know, a week or two ago on this show, does Tampa actually come out of this stronger, knowing they need to sign a lot of guys? Someone's about to take $2 million, $3 million, whatever, off of them.
Drouin. Drouin for Sergachev. That to me is
sure.
You don't have to give Drouin the money. You have the certainty you're going to get with Sergachev, who's going to play for you next year.
Yep. Probably. But it's just these really good teams, they're going to protect their most important pieces, and then someone is going to just pluck $1 million at minimum out of their, you go, thank you, right? Like,
yeah.
There's some teams that are set up okay for that. I think Tampa's one of them.
Well, and to me, Yzerman, shrewd.
Yep.
Like, yep. He's just been able to, he's, you know, the flipping of Filppula and those are finding people to take that contract.
Yeah.
Like, it, to me, he's been pairing, like just snipping away little bits at the edge.
Wouldn't mind if he wasn't in our division.
Never taking too much, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Too big a piece, and you're like, okay, this is my core.
Well, he's got Stamkos at 8.5. Like we talked on the last show about what some of these up-and-coming guys are going to ask for, and I get part of that is the taxes in Florida and this and that, but if he's healthy, that's a top five league guy. Yeah, I get it.
Man,
but when he signed him, he was.
But I know.
And missed another fucking year.
Yeah, but he just, you know, I like him a lot.
Sure, yeah.
He just hasn't been, right? He just hasn't been
healthy. But 8.5 for that guy, what you assume you're getting, pretty reasonable fucking deal, right? Like he just.
Well, a guy who scored 50 twice or as a in his early 20s.
It's going to be an interesting week. And I know. You know, you and I are in tough to be able to get much done, but the draft is next weekend and you know, hopefully next weekend we'll be able to kind of sit down and piece all this back together and what actually went down and talk, you know, they talk a lot that the draft is always supposed to be a big trade day and sometimes that lets you down too. But I think this week will be interesting and there'll be some surprise picks, some of these deals to keep people away from taking your guy, this shady backroom dealings.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be the interesting stuff. Yeah.
Because to me, that's going to shake out here in the next couple weeks, too.
I think you're probably right there. So it's going to be interesting, man. And I thought this was interesting. I thought sitting down and I want to give a shout out. I don't know that they listen. We've talked a couple of times. But the guys over at Cap Friendly, which was the website that had this tool done, I sent them a tweet this morning and just said, you know, I don't know what's involved, but are you planning to adjust this? Because they had a tool on their website, not just to do the draft, but so that you don't have to go through and protect every team. It was a crowdsourced thing. Here's who most people assume is going to be protected, and you can just use that. And that's what I used last night. And so the team's actual protected lists came out at 10:30 this morning. At about 10:40, I sent them a tweet, and I just said, hey, just for my own curiosity, are you planning to re-update this with the official lists? And if so, you know, when? Because I just, you know, we had this show to do, whatever. And they replied right away and said, yeah, we're absolutely going to do that. And it'll be up soon. And it was up by like 11:10. So within 40 minutes, they had gone through and absolutely locked in everybody's. So they're just guys, right? Running a website for people's reference. So tip of the cap to them. Like I said, capfriendly.com. Pretty much where I go anytime I want to know who's unrestricted.
Well, I love the breakdown.
Yeah.
Forwards, D.
They did a great job.
Who's got contracts as you move forward.
Yep.
Right? Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And it's
not just now. It's all year long. As soon as something gets updated, what does it mean? Who's going to be pressed? Who's, you know, they do an awesome job. So it's capfriendly.com if you want to check
it
out.
And I look at it quite a bit before we do these shows.
Yeah.
When we look at just, we were talking with the Oilers last week. We were talking with the Hawks.
Yep.
Right? Great. It's all there.
Oh, it's perfect.
And it's visually laid out nice.
Yep.
To me, and I know this isn't everybody's bag, right?
Sure.
But if you are a hockey fan, right, this is like, it's like Christmas, right? You got a bunch of stuff. Now, maybe nothing happens. And you're stuck with a shitty sweater at the end. could very well happen here, right?
Yeah.
But to me... Yeah, if you are interested in that, Cap Friendly, great site, and to try this.
Yeah.
Lend your hand. You know,
well, because you got till Wednesday night. This will still be up. This will still be available. That's when the team gets unveiled. And long after that, it's a great reference just to know what your team's doing.
I'd like to do it again. Right?
You should. You're getting run out of the building by my team. So.
I don't believe that.
Of course you don't.
I don't believe that to be true. But I would tweak it. There are some changes I'd make up front.
Yeah.
And so I want to get tougher.
Back to Cal Clutterbuck and his five mil.
Too much, man. Cal, too much for a fourth line guy.
So thanks again to CapFriendly.com. That's Tall Can Sports. It's going to be an interesting week, and we will be back next weekend to wrap it all up for you.
See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at Tall Can Audio.